I wound up in Germany. I was able to cross the Hungarian border into Germany because there was a refugee camp there. And then from Germany, I was so aware of my German surroundings there. It was a very, very uncomfortable thing, because when I still saw uniforms, German people were still wearing uniforms, and the uniform in itself was, you know, so I said I have to find a way, you know, to get out. Italy was one of the very few countries that opened its borders to refugees. And I will eternally be grateful to Italy. And when we talk about Italian fascism, I think we are deceiving ourselves if we don't realize that Italy had no appetite for fascism. That if it were that Italian fascism had dominated the world, it wouldn't have been 6 million Jews that perished. As a matter of fact, Italy had many places where they were hiding Jewish people. Italy saved practically all of its Jewish citizens.
And okay, so you now go to Italy.
I was in Cremona, Italy, now in a refugee camp.
How did you get there?
We crossed, I was in Austria, and there were Jewish leaders from Israel, came Hayalim, soldiers, who organized groups. Italy was one place from where you could eventually go to Israel. And they were literally recruiting future Israelis, so to speak. And so we crossed the border. It was a dangerous crossing at one point, because if you were caught, you know, the Swiss would let you go. You know, it was the Austrian border that was dangerous too. But we, at night, in the dark, we managed to cross. And I have such sad memories about, there was a mother with two little children. She had to carry the children across the border, you know. In other words, the Holocaust itself wasn't enough to pay a heavy price. Now you have the way to become human again, to start life again. So you found your children somewhere hidden by a Polish family, and now you get away, you want to get away, and you have to cross borders. There are no legal ways to go anyplace. So, you know, and there were a few kind human beings, non-Jews, thank God, who were literally saviors in many ways, particularly in Switzerland and in other places like that. Italy was, well, it's very interesting. I think I managed to write something about that. Italians are not wedded to politics. Italian doesn't understand politics too well. Mussolini didn't either. You know, there is a wonderful Italian, by the way, I speak Italian fluently, so there's a wonderful Italian expression, me ne frego, means I don't give a damn. And the Italian, it's a leading way of life in Italy, because that's the way you survive. You know, me ne frego, you know, So when I said to an Italian in Cremona in the refugee camp, I said, I'm Jewish. And he said, and what's the big deal?
It's the best thing to hear.
You know, sure. He says, I've known a few. What do you want, a medal? You know. It is so heartwarming, you know. And then surrounding in the refugee camp was in Cremona, and then the neighbors knew that there were Jews there, and Italy was noble in its behavior as far after the war, allowing, and it was a hardship for Italy, allowing refugee camps all over. So I wound up in Cremona, Italy, and spent there 2.5 years.
And what was life like there? What was life like in
Cremona? Well, UNRWA, the organization, international organization, basically, supported the camp financially, and then Jewish organizations from America mostly, or I contributed to the support of the camp. I will eternally be grateful to Italy in many ways. The Italians don't know how to be fascists, they don't know how to be communists either, you know, they tried all of this and it didn't work. And it's a fantastically ironic plus. You know, that this is the favorite, me ne frego, I don't give a damn.
So what did you do for those 2.5 years? Were you working?
Yes, I did. They established a TA school for children, because we had lots of children. And I got the job, because I wasn't very well educated, to be the gym teacher. And because I was an avid soccer player, and so I became the gym teacher. And I'll show you, when we have an opportunity, if I can find it, pictures where I taught kids how to play soccer, how to march properly, you know, that kind of thing. And I became suddenly a teacher. And by nature, I adore children. And I'll tell you, it's not nobility. It has to do with the fact that some people are eternal children. That's me, baby.
I wouldn't know about that.
You're looking at another one over here.
I'm an eternal child, and I think if somebody thinks it's a pejorative, they are wrong, because you can do very well by sustaining, reserving, preserving your childhood. It's a wonderful, wonderful reminder of so many things. All your life, like it or not, is fundamentally influenced by your childhood, you know.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
So now you're teaching the kids.
Yes.
You're eating better now. You're
yes,
food.
Yes.
Are you happy?
Yes, yes. Well, and then life changed drastically. And so, yes, freedom is so poorly understood, because there are not too many places in the world where such a drastic thing took place for the Jews, who were totally deprived of freedom. There are so many shades of liberty, you know, but here concentration camps did not talk about freedom, you know. So you felt already, you know, a rather wonderful feeling that I'm walking out, you know, in the streets of Italy, and no one is asking me for documents or something like that.
Now you have, you're getting close to 1948.
Yes.
Are you thinking about either going to Israel or going to the United States? Or
yeah, yes, it's a very interesting chapter in my life.